Chazal tell us Esther is the Sof Kol HaNisim, the end of Nisim. The end of Nisim recorded openly in the Tanakh. The Nisim of Esther were distinguished by the fact that this was Nes Nistar. Nes Nistar is that the hand of the Rabbeinu Shalom remains very, very veiled. The Gro writes that every pasuk in Megillah is a Nes Nistar. Give one example, that at the very beginning of the Megillah, we have Vayibu Mei Achashverosh, Mekishevetz HaMelech Achashverosh, Al-Kisei Malchuso, Vishna Sholosh Lamolcha, Osto Mishne, Lechul Soro V'Avodo. And the Gon raises the obvious problem. Shushan was not the capital of the empire. The capital was in Bavel. So what in the world was Achashverosh doing in Shushan Abira? What brought him here? It's like all of a sudden the president decided that he's going to move to Teterboro, and that's it, and set up the White House in Teterboro. What happened? And the Goyen explains that Achashverosh had an agenda, but the Rabbeinu Shalom also had an agenda. Achashverosh's agenda was that he wished to make a throne which would emulate the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. And the artisan that could execute this lived in Shushan. And the only problem was, when he finished executing this throne, it was so unwieldy that they couldn't figure out how they're going to move it from Shushan to the capital. So Achashverosh, having no choice, wanting to sit in a throne which was similar to the one of Shlomo HaMelech, so he built himself a palace in Shushan, and he moved the establishment, the center of the government, is now going to be in Shushan. So his agenda, he had an agenda. His agenda was to have a throne which was given the aura of Shlomo HaMelech. That was his agenda. But the Rabbeinu Shalom had his agenda. And that's what we find throughout the Megillah, overlapping agendas. Why did the Rabbeinu Shalom bring him to Shushan? For what reason? Because in Shushan was the seat of Mordechai HaYehudi. Mordechai sat in Shushan. And if the events surrounding the king's palace would take place in Shushan, then Mordechai would be able to intervene and to save Klal Yisrael. So what started off is an exercise in Achashverosh's vanity to such an extent that he moved the entire seat of government for it from Bavel to Shushan Abira. The Rabbeinu Shalom had his agenda that he saw this should come about. And that is to place everything in the hands of Mordechai Yehudi. Mordechai should have proximity to the palace and to its events to be able to influence finally the Atzol of Klal Yisrael. So it's a Megillah of hidden agendas. Sometimes the Rabbeinu Shalom's agenda is also hidden. And we have to see it with a very, very keen eye. Mordechai tells Esther at a very critical moment of the Megillah. He's encouraging her. She's nervous if she should go presently to Achashverosh or she should wait. And Mordechai speaks very strongly to Al Tadami bin Avshech li Molei Beis HaMelech and Kol HaYehudim ki him hacharesh tacharish leis hazois rebach batzola tamor leYehudim b'mokom acher ba'at tovei savicha tovei. Now, the simple pshat that we have in this pasuk, we understand what do we mean ba'at. If she does not live up to what's expected of her, so that's it. She's ruined her own life. But what was the meaning of Beis Avich Toved? What Beis Avich have to do with this? You know, if I'm a pious Jew or I'm not a pious Jew, listen, I have to stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom and answer in judgment to him. But what does that have to do with my great-great-grandfather? He was a pious Jew and he raised his children the way he should and he learned Torah, did the mitzvahs, and that's it. So listen, I have to live on my own fate, determine my own fate. What does that have to do? What did he mean about Atu Beis Avich Toved? The Nesivos writes, he connects this with the Haftarah we read in Parshas Zohar. In the Haftarah of Parshas Zohar, in the Torah of Parsha Zohar, how does Agog survive? Because of Shaul. So now, who is to correct for the chet of Shaul? Esther is his descendant. So it is incumbent upon her to correct the problem that Shaul left behind, which brings Haman to the world. Haman Agog. If she won't correct the problem, so not only has she undermined her own life, but the possibility of a tikkun of the chet of Shaul, that Shaul generations before allowed Agog to survive, the last opportunity for one of his descendants to rectify this problem will also have been missed. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the use of Esther is a hidden agenda. She was righteous, she was connected with Mordechai, but it was a deeper agenda that Rabbeinu Shel Olam had, and that is to give her the opportunity to repair the damage that Shaul had done. So there are all levels of different agendas. Achashverosh, at the beginning of the Megillah, if one reads the Megillah, Achashverosh feels that the 70 years in which it is likely for the Jews to be redeemed and Yerushalayim to be restored have ended. So he's throwing a big bash to celebrate this triumphant moment for the Persian Empire. That's the outer agenda. But there was a hidden agenda too that Chazal tells us. And the hidden agenda was more significant than the outer agenda. The hidden agenda was that he should cause Klal Yisrael to get involved in immorality. He learned the lesson of Bilam Arosha. Bilam attempted throughout his entire prophecy to curse Klal Yisrael. But Vayachvei Hashem, Hashem turned all his klolos into brachas. And finally, Balak disappears. So Bilam finally tells him that there's one thing that you can do. Curse Klal Yisrael, it's not going to happen. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't let me. But there's one thing that you can do. Moreh says in Sanhedrin, Eloheyem shal eilu sonei zimahu. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam despises immorality. Involve them in immorality, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will curse them. And thus we have the parsha of the Baal Peor on the heels of Bilam and Balak. Achashverosh undertook the same course of action, that he created a party, and the party was done in a very cunning fashion. If he forced everyone to drink beyond the point of inebriation, then they wouldn't be responsible. They were anus for what happened afterwards. So Achashverosh said, "Vashasiach hados ein anus. Drink as much or as little as you want. And therefore, if you do get inebriated, so before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you will stand guilty, because you did it of your own free will." He created circumstances to increase the possibility of immorality. The word Bisan, which we find Chatzar, we find Bisan HaMelech, Chatzar Bisan HaMelech, is a very odd word. We do not find the Nesivos as a parallel for this word any place in Tanakh. And we don't have a very clear definition of what this word means. And he offers a very startling interpretation of the word. And that is, as we call a small child, a katantan, for example, a tiny tot. So Bisan means a very small house. And what he did is he created little huts, little cabanas, scattered throughout the whole area of the palace, so that it would make it more comfortable for people to get involved in immorality. They would have the necessary privacy to indulge themselves. So Achashverosh arranged the circumstances. Outwardly, this was a celebration of the Malchus. But his real intention was that now that he saw that Klal Yisrael was not saved by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to seize the hour and to destroy Klal Yisrael. But how are you going to destroy Klal Yisrael? So the way to destroy Klal Yisrael is to involve them in immorality. So he undertakes a course of action, which is again at two levels. Outwardly a huge splash, the king is celebrating and everyone's invited and all the royalty will come. And behind the scenes, the agenda is a very different agenda. The ultimate purpose is not incidental that Klal Yisrael will sin. The purpose of this gathering is so that Klal Yisrael should sin. That's its tachlis, that's its goal. Chazal wondered, why Esther? Why she invited Haman to her party? For what reason? What was her intention? And Chazal said, Tana Rabbanon, the Gemara's in Tesbava Medbeis and Megillah, Tana Rabbanon, Marosa Esther Shezimna Asama, it certainly created a moment of extreme anguish for the Jewish people. So what did she do such a thing for? Rav Elazar Omer Pachim Tomnalo, that she wished to set a trap for him. And therefore, Shanama Yishukonam with name Lepach. She wished to ensnare him in some fashion. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mebesavi Alomdo. This was a Messiah that she had. Shanama Mrov Sanacha Achileu Lechem. Rameir Omer Kadeshalo Yitol Eitz of Yimrit. She was afraid that if he understood everything that was taking place, he might want a revolution against Ahasuerus. So this way she wished to ensnare him in the palace, that he would be bereft of his advisors, and he would not be able to plot and to conduct a conspiracy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kadeshalo Afiru Boshi Yehudis. To be effective, she wanted to conceal the fact that she was Jewish. In what way could she conceal the fact? What better way to conceal the fact to invite the archenemy of the Jewish people for a special gathering with the king? It certainly would put people, she would be above suspicion that she's Jewish. And from that standpoint, she would be able to more effectively counter that which Ahasuerus wanted. From the Chemya Omer, another agenda, the Jews were aware, perhaps, who she was, at least some of them. And therefore, they would feel that, listen, we have a powerful ally that will spare us from Haman. So she wanted them not to depend on her. Why? Because if they will depend on her, they will not be mispala before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbi Yossi Omer, that if she's around him and the king, perhaps she'll find some way to trip him up, some misstep that he'll make, and she'll be able to do him in. So she needed access. Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Nasi Omer, Ula Yargish Hamokum B'Yasa Manonis, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will respond with sensitivity to the fact that I have to flatter this arch villain, and that itself will cause the Rabbeinu Shalom to have rachamim on us. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, a different agenda. Asbir lo ponim, I will act in a manner which is favorable to him, so that the king will think that there's some action between us. And therefore, so what will happen? The king will kill both of us. I don't mind going down. As long as Haman goes down, the Jews will be safe. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Melech Hafach von Hoyim, skipped, I'm sorry. He was a king who was ready to, he jumped around. He was not stable in his decisions. And therefore, if I would convince him to kill Haman, and I'll go home, maybe by the time he has to kill Haman, he'll change his mind. So what did she do? So he says, let me have Haman on the scene. So at the moment when I convince Ahasuerus to kill him, so he'll kill him immediately, before he has a chance to change his mind. We'll see something very interesting at the end. We don't have the full explanation yet. The Amar Rabbi Lezer Amodoy says, that it was to arouse Kinov, the Melech and the Son, get the Melech jealous, and to get the Son jealous. So maybe the political establishment, the king would whack them, or the political establishment would whack them. And Rabbi Omar Lifnei Sheber Goyim, that before a person falls, they sometimes ride very high. And therefore, building them up is the opportunity to send them crashing down. Now, Ashkechei Rabba Baravu El Eliyo. And Rabba met Eliyo. And what did he... Skipped one view. Abaye Barobad Amr Tabaye B'chumam Oshis Es Meshteyem, that just as similarly, which would happen by the... with Belshazzar, that when they were tired and they got involved in drinking, they got drunk, and that's the day that Belshazzar was killed. So similarly, Abes Domer, we talk with Shoshoim, both Emperonius, they'll get themselves drunk and they'll start to party wildly. Who knows, you know what will come forth. Maybe they'll do hominin. So we have a massive amount of opinions about what was the purpose of Esther inviting, or what's the truth. To find out the truth, so it says Rabbi Baravu was zoicha to meet Eliyahu HaNovi. So let Eliyahu HaNovi tell us what's the truth. Omalei k'man chazia Esther v'avda hochi. What was her agenda? We have a lot of interpretations of her agenda. Omalei k'kulu tanoi k'kulu amaroi. All the reasons that have been put forth by the tanoim and the amaroi, she was up to all of them simultaneously. She had a very, very broad agenda with many, many different possibilities of success. And she calculated on all of them, that one of them at least should succeed. But in fact, the obvious fact that she invited Haman, but the agenda was a very hidden agenda. We need, in fact, all the Tanoim and Namoroim to divine all the possible reasons. And only after that does Elio come and tell us that we need all of them. Every single one of those reasons was one of her reasons. This is the nature of the ness of Purim. That's why in the Megillah we don't find Shem Hashem. In Tanakh it's unheard of not to find Shem Hashem. But Rabbeinu Shel Olam is referred to the Mefarshim tell us every time it says Vayomer HaMelech without Ahasuerus, it means the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Means that events took place at two levels. Ahasuerus had his intention, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam simultaneously had his intention. So we're dealing with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Hester. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, when he's not in sight, when we can't observe the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Because all the events of Purim took place, as it were, in a certain measure of fog. There were outer dimensions and inner dimensions throughout. In Ahasuerus' plotting, in the role of Esther, in the plots of Esther, everything is multidimensional. And that's why quintessentially the Megillah is the Megillah of Golos. Hanukkah takes place at Admas HaKadosh. It's a Beis HaMikdash. It's a whole different agenda. The involvement of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and as the Pnei Yeshua points out in Masechet Shabbos, that the Ner Marovi burned through the time until the time of Shimon HaTzadik. Then it was extinguished afterwards. That Ner Marovi was one Ner which burned the entire 24 hours. And from that, they lit the neiros of the menorah in the next night. After it, eventually it stopped. After the Ness of Hanukkah, it started again. So we're dealing in Eretz Yisrael, sof kol sof. If the events were in a certain realm of Nes Nistra Mulchamo, but the Nes of the Neira was clearly a Nes Nigma. And we're dealing with the presence of the Shekhinah, the presence of the Migdash. It's an entirely different story. The Megillah of Esther, here we're dealing with events al Admas Meicha on foreign soil. It's not normal for a Novi to receive Nevuah by Admas Meicha. The Shekhinah is not as felt, not as perceived as strongly as it is in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Shara Shamayim. So this quintessentially is the document of Golus. How we search and find the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and the Golus. And that would seem to be the reason that we find, very strangely, we have Hallel. And we use that Hallel very broadly. On all the Chagim, we have a Hallel. At the Seder, we have Hallel. Shchaydesh, we wanted to praise the Rabbeinu Shalom, so we took Hallel, right to Hallel. All of a sudden it comes to Purim, and there's no Hallel. Now the Gemara offers a number of different reasons. The Gemara says it was a Netz and Chutz La'aretz, that we don't say Hallel, at least after the Ra, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, when we came to Eretz Yisrael, we don't do such things. Akati Abdi Achashverosh Hanan, it was not such a clear-cut triumph for Klal Yisrael, because when the dust settled, we were still subject to the Persian Empire. And finally, the Gemara says, Kriyasa Zuhi Halila. The Kriyasa Megillah is Halal. But the question is, so why only on this one occasion a year do we have this Halal? Halal seemed to suffice for all the other occasions in the year when we need Halal. We don't have any special Halal. All of a sudden it comes to Purim, and the Rambam in fact records this as the definitive answer of the Gemara, the Rambam and the Yad. That the Kriyas HaMegillah is in the place of Hallel. That's what the Rambam writes in the Yad. So why have this a different Hallel? Different. Suffice for every other occasion. For this occasion we have a different Hallel. And the answer really lies is that Hallel, the Gemara says, comes in two fashions. Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, that Kol Omer Hallel B'chol Yom Reza Mecharech Megado. From blasphemies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recites Hallel daily. The Gemara says, Eini, it's not true. Rabbi Yossi said, Lahavi Chelki Im Goymri Hallel B'chol Yom, that my Chelek should be together with those that are Goymri Hallel B'chol Yom. So here he says it's a ma'ilah to be going with Hallel B'chol Yom. So the Gemara says it depends. Are we dealing with Hallel HaMitzri? Are we dealing with the Hallel of Pesukah D'Zimra? Hallel HaMitzri, one is a Mecharech Megadeth, if one recites on a daily basis. Hallel of Pesukah D'Zimra, that's a ma'ilah to recite every day. And the question is why? What's the difference? So the Ksav Sofer writes, the difference is very simple. Hallel HaMitzri is for extraordinary events. Tzias Mitzrayim, Anes Chanukah, Kabbalas HaTorah, special events, unique events in history. So we praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the impact of those unique events. Kol Omer Hallel B'chol Yom, the Ksav Sofer says, means to say that if I really wish to experience Shekhinah in the full sense on a daily basis, how do I have to do it? To relate to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the one that creates Nisim in the world. The one that changes the normal order of nature. Ksav Sofer says, that's what Chazal is telling us. That's not the way to look for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That is a machar from a God. Why? Because one is saying that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam on a daily basis is not accessible. I have to lock in on the unique events that which took place over the generations. No, Rabbi Yossi says. We had to find the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Every day, go outside, see the sun rise, the sun set. The flowers grow. Therein, we have to find the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the Hallel of Pesukah D'Zimra praised the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's role in nature. Not for extraordinary events, but for the existence of nature. As the Ramban writes Everything is nes nistar. Why is it that the flowers grow? The Rabbeinu Shalom Ki Omar Bayeh, Tziva Ben Aro. It's Parasha. Therein is manifest the Rabbeinu Shalom on a daily basis as we observe the world around us. Purim was not Hallel of Nes Nidla. The Kriya, where do we find the Rabbeinu? We don't even mention Shem Hashem in the Hallel of Purim. Hallel starts, Halleluka, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, right away. Mika Hashem Elokeinu Avdei Elosheves, Amashpi Leirois, Mashamayim Lemaharetz. The Almighty and All-Powerful Rabbeinu Shalom, who rules the world. In the Hallel of Purim, the Rabbeinu Shalom mentioned, that the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom mentioned, with the praise of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Nister. The Rabbeinu Shalom is hidden. I can read the entire document of the Megillah from the beginning until the end. And I've read of a Machiavellian series of events which has taken place in the Persian Empire. One of many such incidents and episodes which have taken place across world history. The Rabbeinu Shalom was wherever the Rabbeinu Shalom was. It's a nice historical story. But the call of the Hallel of Purim is no. Within Teva, without the Nisim Gluyim, find the Rabbeinu Shalom. See the Rabbeinu Shalom's agenda within the nature, the natural events of the world. That's the Hallel of Purim. And that's why in HaPurim we could not ask for a recitation of the conventional Hallel. It's no connection at all with Purim. It's a different notion. The Hallel of Purim is a Hallel of Nes Nistar. That's Matim, what's appropriate for Klal Yisrael and Golus. And Golus, we're not going to have the Nisim Gluyim. It's not what's going to happen. It's not what takes place in Golus. In the Beis Hamikdash, there are 10 Nisim Gluyim every day. In Golus, to look for the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is hidden. Hallel of Purim is to call our attention to find the Rabbeinu Shalom in a hidden fashion. And let us not think that that's something minor or insignificant. The Yaivetz, and I believe it's rooted in a statement ultimately of the Chayv HaSalavos, but the Yaivetz in the Hakdomah to a Siddur writes, I'll ask you a question. If I told you, listen, tomorrow you meet me at Kennedy Airport, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, and I'm going to take off on a plane, I have a privately chartered jet, and we're going to fly around for 5 hours, and we're going to be able to see all the Nisan that took place in Mitzrayim. Everything. From Dom, Tzfadei, Akin, Emorah, Vakas, Bechairus, Kriyas, Yamsuf, that's it. I promise you, tomorrow, meet me in Kennedy Airport at 8 o'clock, I have a private jet ready, don't ask how it's going to work, and you'll see all the Nisan that took place in Mitzrayim. First day.
Like a war.
Yeah, anyone that wants.
What are you talking about?
That's it. I wouldn't be able to accommodate all the people that wanted to come. It would be impossible. It'd take me as a serious person. I'm not, if I told you that, then I'm serious. So you're going to come with me. A one-time opportunity, yeah. So the Yaivet says, I'll show you something greater than that. And you don't have to fly around in a plane for 5 hours, and you can see it every day. Not once. And what is that? The survival of Klal Yisrael and Golus. He says the survival of Klal Yisrael and Golus transcends the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That means if we study the Nes Nister of Golus, of Purim, and all the Purims and Klal Yisrael's survival in Golus, we will see Nisim that transcend the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Nes Nister can be as powerful and more powerful than Nes Nidla. We have to comprehend it. We have to go to it. It's not going to come to us. Nes Nidla hits us over the head. Here we are standing at the brink of Yamsuf. the deep blue sea on one side, Paro's army on the other, and where we're going. All of a sudden, the Yamsuf, but just the appropriate moment, opens. We run through, and we're still not sure. Maybe somehow, some fluke of nature, and Paro's going to manage to get out and chase after us on the other side. The Yamsuf closes up. Well, listen, maybe he also made it out from some other way. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo spits them all up on the shore of the Yamsuf. So we see they're all dead. Shh, this is not nice. You know, we Jews are masochists, as skeptical as we are, but this is a nice. No question about it. And yet, Nes Nistar far transcends Nes Nigma. But we have to go to it. If we don't go to it, we don't look for it, come watch it go right by. Miss the whole thing. But if we look for Nes Nistar, then we see wondrous things. We see very, very different things. The Gemara relates that the Amoraim wished to find an approach to a prism with which to understand and lock in on all the events of the Megillah. One key which will unlock the entire Megillah. So each Amora would begin his drosha on the Megillah with what he saw as the key to the Megillah. The key aspect of the Megillah, and if one sees it from that prism, one can understand all the events in the Megillah. The Yud Aleph Amud Aleph in Megillah. The Amora says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Posuch Lo Pischa Lo Parashta Meyocho. When he began his interpretation of the Megillah, this is where it began. He cited in Dovra Melech, in Mizbe Kuf Chav Dalet, Shir HaMalas, Lule Hashem Shehoye Lonu, Yoymano Yisrael, Lule Hashem Shehoye Lonu, B'kum Aleinu Odom. So the Gemara interprets this, and it's rather strange that this is also interpreted at two levels. Odom, B'lei Melech. That who was our arch enemy? Not a Melech, but rather Odom, meaning Haman, someone that was not a Melech. That Rav Hashor writes a very, very beautiful and compelling piece about the fate of Klal Yisrael and Golus that's intimated by this Chazal. And he interprets, in fact, this entire Mizmor on Tilim from that standpoint. He goes through the entire Mizmor. You see how Mizmor Isa the Midrashais. Mizmor Kuf Chav Dalet. If we look in the Medrashim, which explain this Mizmor, Shekivnu Bo Al Esav Bezara. They talk about Esav and his descendants, and ultimately that's going to be Haman too, who descends from Eliphaz. Shehirshiu VeHiriu Lanu B'Chol HaDoros. They have been evil, and they have caused suffering to Klal Yisrael, Yoyisu Mikol Shor HaUmos, more than any other nation. Rusha Amru B'Medrash. Yoyimarno Yisrael, which Yisrael? Yisrael Sovel, meaning all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. Ksiva Yishkav Amokoy Mahu, Omra B'Yishua Ben Levi, Khan Shochav, Okol Esrim Shonosh, Oyim Abay Slobin Loy Shochav, Umahu Oma. So what did he do in all the time that he didn't sleep in the house of Lohan? He would recite Kol Sefer Tilim, he would recite Tilim. I know she is palo, she needs a little Esav. His tefillah before the Rebbeinu Shalom is that I should be spared from Esav. She bishvilo borach leveis lovan. Because of that, I ran away to the house of lovan. Va'omar shu simon levonar v'golas edom. That this is symptomatic of what Klal Yisrael should do in golas edom, the golas that we find ourselves. She tefasnu umnis avaseinu, we follow the pattern of the others. She is palo came. Lule Hashem Shohayalon or Mukum Aleinu Odom. The Rebbeinu says, "Al Tikri Odom Ela Edoim." It's referring to Edoim. They would in fact rise up to destroy us. And he says there are three agendas of the non-Jewish world in Golas Edom. There are three portions, three aspects of the anti-Jewish attitudes of the world, which go from one level of evil to the next. They should deprive us of economic opportunity that we should not be able to support ourselves. They didn't stop just with that. They attempted genocide against the Jewish people. They attempted to force us to leave our religion. And this is what the Mizmor writes. As I chayim blauna, they swallowed us up alive. It's to take away our means of earning a livelihood. As Chazal have told us, Rei chayim in ma'isha, the chayim refers to parnosa. Shlo yiel yisrael shum michya. And they look for all types of excuses to deprive us economically in the Golos. Gzeiras kliya mamash of genocide. Amar Azai, hamayim shtafunu. The waters have come to engulf us. Nach lo over al nafshenu. Kofal einyan. Gzeiras harigo shilu gufu le nefesh. Affects the nefesh can no longer serve the Rebbeinu shel Olamino. While Gzeira Gimel, she Gzeira Shmad, Omar, as I over on Lashenu Hamayim as I dinam. That means we should stray from the Rabbeinu Shalom. The handle the Nefesh Levat, that only affects the Nefesh. Aval Omar, Shayilot, Filos, and Shayisro. That what has speared us on all three fronts, from all these types of damage, is the Tfilos. O Baruch Hashem, Ashelon, Sanonu, Terav, Lishineim. That the Rabbeinu Shalom has not allowed them to devour us. And he says, Shezeh Simon Lamalchus Edom, Shenidme the Kochol the Chazir Miyar, it's considered like a wild pig. The Kochol Beshinov, its primary strength is in its teeth. V'ochlo Medaka Beshinel, V'ochlo Medaka Beshinel, it crushes its food with its teeth. Kol Ha'umah is Bekoyach Shinov, it devours the nations of the world. She was simon tumah lechazir. That is the simon tumah. In fact, the way that it chews, it doesn't chew its cud. Avol b'sharo shusheres Yisrael. When it comes to klal Yisrael, ein lo koyach b'shinov. That power it does not have. Why? She was simon tumah shelo. That it cannot affect klal Yisrael. Avol yesh lo koyach Yisrael de baragleho. The koyach that it has stems from its feet. She was simon tairo lechazir. The simon tire in a chazir is that it's machus parsa. Ve'ilokoyach lechalo yisrael b'shino, but it cannot affect us with tumu. V'zeu sha'oma baruch Hashem asher lo nosen koyach litroich b'shino lechalo seino. That it cannot do, but rather k'mo asher umos over the kachovim. And why is this? V'zeu sha'oma akol kol Yaakov yadayim yaday Yisav. Rotzaloma kepashti dilav k'hol kol Yaakov b'tfilo v'limin atayra. If not for that, but our ruchnius of Torah and Tfilo that sustains us. Our cave in the Kol Yaakov, but Torah and Kocho Elabi Yadayim De Yisam. She was Simon Tyrish, only in its the hands, as it were, the feet of the pig, which is the Simon Tyre. But Reese of Alma to step on us, not to devour us. Baalma and Avshinu Kitsibur Nimlita. A plate Yagzeira shall behold over the that we're able to escape from them in every generation. And he says this was in fact Homantu, who came as a descendant of Esau. And if we look at the Megillah, we have all three aspects in the Megillah. It's the initial plan, and Haman was involved in that too. In the initial plans, the initial plan was to be machshel klal Yisrael and chet. And that would open up the possibility Ahasuerus intended to destroy us. What did Haman Mahuris dictate? Two things. Lahashme Vilaru Vil Abiris Kola Yehudim. Shlolom Lovois. A twofold attack on the Jewish people. Economically, plunder them, and annihilate them. So all three of these aspects took place in the Megillah. All three of the aspects of the Torah of Edom. The attempt to involve us in Chet, the attempt to annihilate us, and the attempt to plunder us. All of them were subjects of the issues of the Megillah. And yet, what does the Rabbeinu Shalom do? The Rabbeinu Shalom spears us. And for what reason? As Chazal tells us, Kimu v'kiblu ayhudim aleyam v'alzara. That we accepted upon ourselves the Kabbalah Satara. That we accepted upon ourselves. And that's what spears us. The fact that we were Makabal Torah. Why? Because we have to rise up to Esau, which is with the schus of a kol Yaakov, that deprives him of his koyach of a yadayim with the Esau, or able to withstand the onslaught of an Esau. So the Megillah is not only a story of one time in the Golos, but the Amora saw that this is the pattern, in fact, of the entire Golos Edom. The entire Golos Edom. All in the Megillah. And how we would survive it is through the Kimo V'Kiblu. And what else do we underscore? And according to a number of the Rishonim, that's the source of Tainus Esther, is Divrei Atzimah Yisbizar Kosom. Not only the fast, we don't only write a history that we fasted at the time of Esther, but in fact we observe a fast day prior to Purim to go through the same process of Divrei Atzimah Yisbizar Kosom, of Tfilah and Tzimah. To draw closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom, as we did, and Lech Kais is called Yehudim, but Sumo Alayv Al Tochlov Al Tishtu Shloishes Yomim Lailu Vayayim. Just as we did then, this is a fixed feature of Purim throughout the days, throughout the generations. Why? It's not only merely that in an Ace Tzara we need this, but particularly in our confrontation with Edom. Our confrontation in Edom was defined by a kol Yaakov, a Yadayim Yedei Esav. That if we steep ourselves in the kol Yaakov of Torah and Tefillah, then we deny the Yadayim Yedei Esav to Esav. So this Amora saw in the Megillah the entire sequence of events starting from Yaakov Avinu, which will affect the entire Golas Edom. And the years that we will live after the second, ultimately after the korban of the second Beis Hamikdash, we will live under the dominion of Esau. This is its pattern, and this will remain true throughout the entire Golos. And Simas HaTalmud, Rabbi Yisai, was close to going on 1600 years. Unfortunately, Tamar was right. Repeated itself again and again and again and again and again and arayim asa, a little differently. So in Purim, we recite the Hallel of Nes Nistar. Therein to say that wherever we are and whatever the external circumstances that exist around us, that's the Golus that the Rabbeinu Shalom has decreed upon us, but the Rabbeinu Shalom is accessible. We can see the workings of the Rabbeinu Shalom Golos. He is accessible to our tefillahs. Divrei Atzimus Mizakosim did not take place in the Beis Hamikdash. It did not take place in Ladmas HaKadosh. Dafka Chutz La'aretz. We should not feel that because we're distant from Ladmas HaKadosh, that what access do we have to the Rabbeinu Shalom? It's true. The interface with Shechina is at its greatest, the Ladmas HaKadosh. But Baruch Kavod Hashem Emkayma, Maloch Al Haaretz Kavod, the Rabbeinu Shalom is present everywhere. As the Kotzka, Zeichat Tzadik Lebrocha, pointed out once, someone traveled across Poland to visit him. So he said, Rabbi Yid, why did you come here? For what? So says, Rebbe, why did I come? I came to find the Rebbeinu Shalom. Chutzke looked at him. He says, what a glorious waste of time. You could have stayed home and found the Rebbeinu Shalom and Malay Chalaret Koedai. What did you come here for? To find the Rebbeinu Shalom? You could have stayed home and find the Rebbeinu Shalom. You have to travel across the whole Poland, come to the Rebbe of Kutsk to find the Rebbeinu Shalom. So this Chassid was bewildered. He says, Rebbe, so tell me, so why do all the Hasidim come to the Kutsk Rebbe? Why don't they all stay home? He says, you come to the Rebbe of Kutsk to find yourself, not to find the Rebbeinu Shalom. The task, the Rebbeinu Shalom is here, Rabbi Yisrael. The task is to find within ourselves the ability. It's not Nesnigla. Nesnigla will come to us. Nesnista, we have to go to it. It has to stem from within ourselves. And that's the Avodah of Purim. The Avodah of Purim is to sensitize ourselves to the Nesnista. The Rebbeinu Shalom has hidden agendas in this world. And therein we will find the Rebbeinu Shalom. Wherever we are, and whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. I'll end with one insight. The question always arises, what is the nature of Chayav Inish L'Psumei B'Purim? A very strange and odd mitzvah. Whether to be taken absolutely literally, somewhat literally, you know, varied interpretations as we know in the Rishonim. But I think it goes to the very heart of what we're talking about tonight. That why should a person drink it? Whatever level a person should drink and whatever effect it should have upon them. But for what reason? It's again, we're interested in the hidden agendas. The Gemara tells us in a very famous Maimon Chazal, Yotze Yayin Nichnas Seid. Rather, Nichnas Yayin Yotze Seid. And that is the Seid that we're talking about, the inner and latent qualities that we have within ourselves. We live, we have a certain bearing, a certain approach to life, and in that regard we put ourselves in our own box. In our own box we put ourselves. And it's hard to step outside the box. Purim is the time, in effect, it's not even so much as a step outside the box, it's a step inside the box. To escape from the normal attitudes that we have and touch the deeper aspects which remain latent within ourselves. So just as Purim is in fact the search for the multi-layered agendas, Ayadinish Vasuma Vapuri is also a search for a multi-level agenda. Not only the external agenda by which we conduct ourselves throughout the year, but many of the latent factors within ourselves which we do not allow to come into play throughout the year. Those latent potentials, to bring them to the fore as well. And just as in analyzing the events of Purim, it's to see beyond the surface and detect the deeper meanings. It's been dealing with ourselves and our own avodah, is to step beyond ourselves and to detect the inner meanings, the inner potential that the Rebbeinu Shalom has given us. Be'ez Hashem, when we conduct Be'ez Hashem, a Simchas Purim, Be'ez Hashem, when we see the Rebbeinu Shalom as Yeshua's, it's a time of Yeshua, and when we be Zoicha, in fact, to see the fulfillment of the end of all the Hamans, in fact, and the rise of Mashiach to Cain and the Beg of Yemeah.